They're here. Brood 5 cicadas are just now making an appearance in southwestern Pennsylvania. Actually, the insects have been here for a while, 17 years. They've been hanging out a foot or two underground and waiting for just the right time to come up to the surface. The emergence of these periodical cicadas has mostly been predicted by the warming temperature of the soil. But Kelly Hoagland, a PhD candidate from the University of Missouri, has another idea. Earlier this week, I joined him at Washington and Jefferson College's Abernathy Field Station in rural Washington County. Hoagland led me through some yellow wildflowers and tall grass to a small patch of woodland he's cleared down to the dirt. It looks like a small vegetable garden, but instead of rows of crops, there are wires running across the soil. He's monitoring the temperature beneath the ground and the immature cicadas.
The nymphs are actually, if you were to just clear even a quarter of an inch of soil off the top, you'd see the tops of the tunnels. They've had these tunnels built for almost a month now. They start digging the tunnels pretty much as soon as it starts to thaw, and they're just waiting.
So you have these cords running into the ground. What is at the other end of the cord that we can't see, and what is it looking for?
About 5 centimeters, a couple inches deep, are accelerometers. They are essentially microphones that pick up vibrations specifically as opposed to airborne vibrations, so soil-borne vibrations. We've recorded them actually underground making clocks and buckets, so it sounds like you're just knocking on wood, essentially, a little is what they make. And what I'm looking for is whether or not they use more than temperature. They use those sounds, those vibrations that they make for when to decide when to come out. The possible use of social cues. Periodical cicadas are actually fairly closely related to treehoppers. Treehoppers are known for their social interactions, and they'll have these complex things where the nymphs will either call to other nymphs to come where they're feeding, or if they're feeding in a group, they'll move as a group. So they'll start sending signals when they're ready to move, and only when a critical mass of them has reached that decision will they move. And while cicadas aren't quite that easy to interpret, they have access to social information because they're noisy little things underground. So they also have the capability of perceiving that vibration. They can feel that through the little vibratory sensing organs they have in their legs. So they have access to all that information about when things are coming out. And it's very important they come out with the other cicadas. If a male comes out too late, all the females have been mated with. If they come out too early, there aren't any cicadas around to be eaten instead of them, so they're less likely to survive. And I've watched a raccoon just walk along the edge where there's a bunch of them and just stop every couple feet and grab one and eat one. So it's incredibly important for them to come out at the same time. Soil temperature can vary a lot depending on whether you're right underneath a tree, right next to a building, if there's a plant on top of you. So if they're coming out solely based on soil temperature, there's a lot of possibility that they're not going to come out with their neighbors. Whereas if they're incorporating soil temperature and social information, that means one might be a little bit too cold for it to want to come out, but if it hears all its neighbors coming out and it comes out, it's better off.
What interests you in cicadas?
I'm looking at collective behavior. So it's not just the cicadas themselves, but how they're informing the decisions based on each other. And I find that very interesting because we do the same sort of thing. An example being with the social information thing. So one's waiting and it's not quite sure, but something nearby is signaling that it's going. It's just like if you watch a bunch of the students on campus standing at a stoplight looking at their phones, one person goes when the light changes and everyone else goes, nobody looks up. It's that sort of usage of social information that I'm interested in. Plus, cicadas are just cool, so.
I don't think a lot of people would think that bug behavior or insect behavior would be informative of human behavior.
The thing that makes us complex is actually the social interactions, all of that. That's fairly new evolutionarily. The majority of our brain evolved well before that, so we still have these underlying behaviors, and you can see them in human population. And complex behaviors are mainly built up of simple behaviors and the interactions between those simple behaviors. So you're looking at the simplest way the behavior works. And by understanding the simplest way the behavior works, you can build up to the more complex behaviors.
Is the warm winter that we've had impacting them at all in the ground? We've had a very mild winter. We hardly had any snow and it was warm a lot. Does that impact when they emerge?
It does, since they rely so much on soil temperature to decide when and what year to emerge. 17 years ago here, they started emerging on May 30th, but it's projected they're going to start emerging around May 20th here. So as winters have gotten warmer and springs have gotten earlier, they are emerging earlier. once they're out, they're still sensitive to temperature. If it's too cold, they can't fly. So if they come out too early and there's another frost shortly after they come out, all the ones that have come out will die because they don't have the protection of the soil to insulate them. Because even if there's a frost on the ground, a few centimeters underground, it doesn't get to the freezing temperature.
And I was just thinking about them ecologically. You know, we know what pollinators do. They pollinate plants. Do cicadas, do they have a function in the sort of landscape?
They do provide a food source to numerous different predators throughout, and they also satiate the predators so they eat less of other things. So you see a boom year, both for predator populations, prey populations, everything goes up for a year. But another interesting thing is their tunnels, because a lot of things use them. Salamanders, there are a lot of species of small salamanders that can't dig their own tunnels. I've seen spiders coming out of their tunnels, using their tunnels. So once they come up, those tunnels stay open. And depending on how much it rains and the soil type, those tunnels can stay there a long time and both introduce water deeper into the soil from the top. Just the act of billions of individuals tunneling up through the ground has a huge impact on the soil.
What are they doing down there for 17 years?
Growing. For the most part, they don't live a very exciting life underground. Their entirety of the world is this tiny little chamber that they dig out and a root that they're sucking on. At this point, they're about the size of the tip of your pinky finger or the pink tip of your thumb, depending on if it's a male or a female in the species. When they first go into the ground, they look a lot like shrimp. Now they come up, they've got this light brown bulbous body. Their front legs have these kind of intimidating claws that look almost like mantis claws that are used for digging and for holding onto roots. And then these gorgeous bright red eyes. Sorry.
No, well, you were saying that they're beautiful, and I know a lot of people think they're creepy.
Well, I work with bugs for a living, so I've got to find them beautiful. I love it when they fully emerged and you walk through the forest edge, because they prefer a forest edge. There'll be a lot in the grass and there'll just be hundreds flying away from you as you walk along them. And it's kind of like walking through some sort of fairy-filled landscape. It's pretty cool.
The thing that people know most about cicadas is not really what they look like, but that what they sound like. So when they emerge, will they immediately start calling, and why do they do that?
Once they emerge, it'll be about a week before they start calling, because they're very soft. If you start going out for a walk around 9, 10 p.m., probably this weekend, you'll find them on sides of buildings, on trees. They'll be perfectly white and slowly filling. And the organs that the males use to call need to be very stiff to work, because what it is they just have these stiff ridges right underneath their wings called timbal organs. And if you've ever crunched the side of a water bottle, that's essentially how they work. They buckle it and it makes a click, and they unbuckle it and it makes a click. And so they just buckle and unbuckle repeatedly, and they do it so fast that it makes an actual tone. Why they make the noise is actually to attract females.
And they make quite a noise, right?
Yes, they do. Proportionally, if you were to have a cicada the same size as us, or we were to go down to the same size as a cicada, since sound is a relative thing, they have produce the same level of sound as a jackhammer, between 100 and 120 decibels. So they make quite the racket, especially when you get all of them together up in a tree.
Besides that they make a lot of noise, can you say one thing about cicadas that's really cool that people should know about?
Well, honestly, one of the things I think most people don't realize is that they do feed as adults. And so they eat the water-rich stuff from trees. That's why when you're underneath a tree that has a lot of periodical cicadas in it, it feels almost like it's raining. That's actually cicada urine, essentially, because they're feeding on nothing but water, and so they get a lot of excess water, and that's great when they're underground, because they use that water to shape their tunnels and keep them moist, but when they're above ground, they're not going to do much with it, so they just...
They pee on our heads.
Yes, they pee on our heads all of the time.
So look out from above.
Yeah, and come June, be ready.
Good to know, thank you. Kelly Hoagland is a PhD candidate from the University of Missouri. He'll be in Pennsylvania through June. That's when the billions of cicadas in this region will finish their mating cycle. After the eggs hatch, the next generation of young cicadas falls from the trees and burrows into the ground for another 17 years. Hoagland says there'll be three different species in this brood, including one which sounds like this. That's just a preview of the sweet music to come.